It's the International Women in Film Podcast with your host, Michelle the Trainer. MTT is Michelle the Trainer.
Aloha and welcome to episode 9 of the International Women in Film Show. This is your host, Michelle the Trainer. Today's very special guest star is American film and TV actress Christy Brook, who is plucked from the island of Oahu, Hawaii, for her talents in acting, music, and to dance and be cast on ABC's primetime hit show, High School Musical, Get in the Picture. She shared the screen with Zac Efron, Nick Lackey, and Kenny Ortega. Christy landed her first speaking role in Sony Pictures' Soul Surfer, opposite Anna Sophia Robb, Dennis Quaid, Helen Hunt, and Carrie Underwood, and that was her feature film debut. She co-stars as Melinda on CBS's Hawaii Five-0 with Alex O'Loughlin and Scott Caan, and plays the role of Sprinkle in the Rich Mullins biopic Ragamuffin, which is now available on Netflix. She's a writer and producer of a SAG-AFTRA sketch comedy show called Girls Aren't Funny, spelled G-U-R-L-S. Recently, Christy has originated the role of Melrose in the brand new 80s pop rock musical Invisible. More theater credits include Peggy Sawyer in 42nd Street, Sergeant Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls, Daisy Mae Scragg in Little Abner, Jody, Annie, and Lily in Quilters the Musical, and more. She's a proud alumni to the Castle Performing Arts Center in Kaneohe, Hawaii, acclaimed as one of the top 10 performing arts programs nationwide. She studied at the Academy of Film and Television in Honolulu and is glad to have completed training at the Upright Citizens Brigade this year at UCB Sunset in Los Angeles. Christy can be found singing jazz standards in the postmodern band Showmance, and she's excited to announce the release of her original EP, First Love, now available on iTunes. We actually have her permission to play a full song at the end of this episode called Shy Guy. Christy enjoys writing for Dysfunction Magazine, D-I-S, Funk, F-U-N-K-S-H-I-O-N, which is sold nationally at Barnes & Noble. She's truly grateful for the support of her friends and family. Shine bright. Hey, you guys, mahalo and have a great day. Aloha! I'm Michelle the Trainer and welcome to the International Women in Film Podcast, where today's very special guest star is Christy Brooks. Christy, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
Christy, you have an amazing resume with all kinds of different talents on it. I want you to tell me everything about how you got started in acting and where are you right now?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be amongst so many amazing women in film. So I'm honored to be here. So thank you again. I got my start actually at the Castle Performing Arts Center in Hawaii, which is one of the top 10 after-school arts programs in the nation.
What island? And I was
on Oahu, actually.
And you're on Oahu right now?
I'm currently on Oahu right now, spending some time with the family,
nice.
Enjoying the islands. Yeah. But I'm just so proud of this island because there's so many amazing people that not only are talented, but they invest in the community here. And the Castle Performing Arts Center really invested in me. And I am just grateful to Karen Meyer, my theater director in high school. She really kind of saw the gift in me and really pulled it out and nurtured it as she does with every single student that she has. And we did, you know, all the fun classic musicals. Yeah, from 42nd Street to Guys and Dolls. We just had a blast, and I really learned a lot of my training for not only how to be a performer, but how to kind of just live in this world. And theater really trained me a lot of like just how to be someone who serves the common purpose of whatever the story is. I was just really taught a lot of just like really wise things in the theater. So I'm grateful for that experience. But I bring that up because being in the community theater here, one of the girls who I performed with, her dad was a producer here on island. And we had just finished 42nd Street. And a few months later, he had called a producer who was looking to cast people for a new show called High School Musical, Get in the Picture. And I was 17 at the time. And I was so excited because I got this phone call from a casting director who's cast things on Disney Channel to Nickelodeon. And she somehow got my name through this, my friend's dad, who's a producer. And he suggested my name to her. And they ended up casting me on a new show at the time called High School Musical Get in the Picture on ABC. It was prime time, hosted by Nick Lachey. And it was like the coolest experience
That's
for me
because totally
I had never.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd never done TV, and I had just come out of theater, and so it was a really fun transition because after being on set for the first time, I just knew in my soul, I knew that this is what I wanted to do forever. And
was the set there, or was the set in Los Angeles?
So funny story, they actually asked me during the audition process before being cast on the show, they asked me for High School Musical to throw a luau together within like a week's time and sing karaoke at a luau, which if you're from Hawaii, you know that nobody really sings karaoke at a luau, but whatever, we had a blast and we did it. And I got to sing a couple of songs for the casting director and we ended up having the best time. And I found out in that moment that I made it to the next round and they sort of surprised me. Little did I know that we were actually filming part of the audition. I thought we were just kind of, you know, showing them what kind of songs I could sing. So I find out that I made it to the next round and they said, congratulations, we're flying you out to LA. And they flew me out and we got to sing at Disneyland for another round of auditions. And then from there, we filmed for 2 months after I made it through all the rounds. The top 12 of us on High School Musical, we made it to Utah where we shot there for 2 months. And that's kind of how I got my start in the film and TV industry. And at the finale performance, actually, of that entire show, we had about 2,000 people at this beautiful theater in Long Beach. And I met my first agent there. And so he signed me after seeing us perform on stage. And I was 17 and I had an agent in LA and freaking out and screaming with my mom and dad. And it was awesome. So it was my first little intro to the entertainment industry, and I'm really thankful. All goes back to the Castle Performing Arts Center. I just love what they do. I mean, they're still going strong to this day, and it's really important for me to give back to them and just thank
That's
them for all the
days. That's so cool. When I come visit you, I'll have to go visit them. That would be far out, right?
Totally. They have a dance concert right now, so maybe we can go see a show.
Oh, that's totally cool. Okay, so then after that, what was your next big highlight? You know I'm dying to talk about surfing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you and I share a deep love for the ocean, so I love this project so much. The project is very near and dear to my heart, but many people...
Tell them the story. Tell them the Bethany story, please.
Oh, I can't wait. Many people have probably heard about this incredible woman by the name of Bethany Hamilton. And she is an amazing pro surfer who tragically lost her arm in a shark attack and still survived and is a surfer to this day. And we were honored and blessed enough to tell her story. It was my first feature film I'd ever worked on. And I actually was home in Hawaii at the time. I was sort of in between moving from Hawaii to LA, and all of a sudden I got this call, which is kind of bizarre. I was taking film acting classes in Hawaii, and I somehow got connected with the casting director who was casting Soul Surfer on Island. And you'll never believe it, but the way in which I remember sitting in acting class, hearing about these auditions, and the woman who cast the movie Soul Surfer, she's a world-renowned casting director by the name of Joey Paul Jensen. And I remember everyone in class was saying, don't reach out to her unless you know her. She's the real deal.
And I want to make sure the audience heard the movie title Soul Surfer, S-O-U-L, Surfer. Okay, go ahead.
Hear that they're casting this movie, Soul Surfer, and I think to myself, I've just got to be a part of this project. I was so personally affected by Bethany Hamilton's story and her courage and her faith and just the resilience that she had to get back up on the surfboard, even though she
had lost
her arm.
That's a very inspirational story.
Amazing, amazing woman. So anyway, I knew I had to be a part of this project and I had heard about it. And then all of a sudden, I kid you not, Michelle, that week I got a phone call from a friend of mine who happened to have met Joey Paul Jensen at their physical therapy office. It's funny, you and I were just chatting about physical therapy, but He actually helped this casting director's father. Long story short, you never know who you're going to meet in entertainment, but they are friends of mine and said, oh, we have a friend of ours, Christy Brooke, who's back in Hawaii. She just was on High School Musical and she's coming into the film industry and to be moving to LA soon, but she just heard about your auditions. I literally had no idea that they knew this exact casting director who I was intending on hopefully somehow by a twist of fate to meet. So long story short, she was so curious. Oh, have her give me, her reel and her resume and headshot. And sure enough, within a few hours, I had an audition set up for Soul Surfer, which is like a dream movie to be a part of and to tell Bethany Hamilton's story. So anyway, it was kind of crazy how I got to meet this casting director. And then I went in, I got the audition, and then I got a call back.
Was that in LA or was that in Hawaii?
All in Hawaii. And I just was so grateful for the opportunity to work with Sean McNamara, who is a
director.
A big Disney Channel director, and he's amazing to work with. And that was my first experience on set, and I got to work with Helen Hunt and Dennis Quaid and kind of see how, these bigwigs do it. I was so just like
in
awe
of everyone.
It's such a
good movie. So did you actually have to surf?
I did not. There were some doubles for that. So, it was just such a fun experience because we were in Hawaii and we're filming for 2 months with so many amazing people. And we got to actually, of course, meet Bethany and just hang out with her and watch her surf.
That's really nice. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to work in Hawaii. I remember when Lost came out, that was a big thing because they filmed in Hawaii. And Oahu is the island that it seems like there's a lot of interesting projects. So let me tell the audience, our connection is kind of far out.
Yeah,
Michelle, the trainer in my fitness wellness expert role, actually know the producer of Soul Surfer, who I met at a wellness center that I work at long before I met Christy Brooke. So it was kind of far out that when somebody recommended Christy to the International Women in Film podcast, and I looked at what she had worked on, I already know the producer of Accidentally.
It's just far out.
Douglas Schwartz, who is also the producer of Baywatch and the Baywatch movie. He has a wonderful water-oriented movie resume.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he actually had so excited to share this new film. It's called Ragamuffin, and it's the story of this amazing, amazingly talented singer-songwriter.
And that's his too, right?
Yep. So Douglas Schwartz worked on, as a producer, film Ragamuffin, which you guys can watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I play the role of Sprinkle on that film, and it was a blast filming it. And we shot in all the podunk towns surrounding Atlanta, Georgia. It was so fun. We had sweet tea on set, and it was great. But it's funny. You never know.
How long were you in Atlanta?
Oh, we were there filming. Let's see, my scenes took about 3 weeks. So we were there in the South hanging out in the summertime, seeing all the fireflies.
There's some nice stuff. They have a beautiful botanical garden in Atlanta. They have an amazing puppet museum in Atlanta with like Jim Henson puppets. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's beautiful houses.
There's some kind of essence of just family there. Everyone's so hospitable. People are, we weren't right in the heart of Atlanta. We were sort of with the people, and that made the experience for filming so much more memorable because we were able
to
connect.
Can you tell us what the story is on Ragamuffin, or is it a secret?
Oh gosh, you can totally know the story. I mean, I hope everyone goes and watches it, so I don't want to spoil it too much. But Rich Mullins was a very authentic artist in that he wrote songs for Amy Grant and then became a wild sensation on his own. People just really connected to his authenticity and sort of rugged nature, and that he played music, that was very faith-based, but he was never straight-laced, if you will. He was very much, you'd show up to concerts, that he was performing at with no shoes and, ripped jeans and a t-shirt, and people so connected just with his authenticity and realness, really, for lack of a better word. I mean, he was just such a cool guy. People would say when they would hang out with him, he's a big star, but when you would go have whatever dinner with him, he'd just kind of ask you to go hang out and go for a walk, and he'd get to know your story and you feel like he's your best friend. So he was someone that a lot of people really admired but felt very much connected to. So we ended up having a premiere, ironically, in all places. We had a premiere in Wichita, Kansas for the film, and we had a little theatrical release. And when we attended the premiere, we had hundreds, I kid you not, of people who had personal stories of how much Rich Mullins, a conversation with him or a concert where he would, you know, seek them out and just kind of chat. It was always just very personal, and people all, everyone related to who this person was and had some kind of personal connection to him. So go watch the film and see how authentically his life was lived and how many people he really affected through his music. So the film is called Ragamuffin, The Story of Rich Mullins.
And I play and Soul Surfer is on Netflix too. So
So fun. I know. It's such a fun time. We can go and like binge watch all our favorite shows and movies, and it's so great. I love it.
It's cool. I love the rewarding stories that you've been able to touch. But then back in Hawaii, isn't there more?
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for asking. It's really cool, I think, to see the market here.
I love
in Hawaii.
The Hawaii projects, right?
I'm so proud. I just feel so grateful to be among such talented people. And not only that, everyone here is so full of aloha, which for those of you who may not know, aloha, of course, is a greeting. It means hello and goodbye, but it also means love. So everyone here has a very loving and caring and ohana-centered, like family-oriented type of way in which we work. I was so blessed. I actually had the casting director, Rachel Sutton is her name. We love you, Rachel. She is an actor's casting director. She just wants to bring out the best performance possible in all of her actors that she brings in for auditions. And she casts Hawaii Five-0. So I happen to be home visiting family.
Perfection.
Yes, I happened to be home, and I hadn't been seeking out an audition for 5-0 whatsoever. I literally was going to the beach hanging out with my family, just sort of taking a little breather from L.A., and out of nowhere, her casting office calls me, assuming I'm in L.A., and asked that I would go and read for their L.A. offices for an episode coming up for Hawaii 5-0, the character of Melinda. And I thought to myself, this is serendipitous because I'm actually in Hawaii right now and I can just come by and read for Rachel Sutton in person, the casting director. So it was so crazy because we were freaking out. I was here. I went in. I read for her. She called me back. I read for the director and I got the part of Melinda all within probably four days time.
What's the episode number?
Oh, gosh. It is called Pa'ani. I can look it up right now what the episode number is. But I play the character of Melinda, and I don't want to reveal too much given the storyline, but it was so, so fun being able to film because we shot right in sort of the North Shore area where I'm very familiar with. I used to live closely, so it kind of felt like I was in my backyard shooting, and I was like kind of in awe of what, I don't know, just God had created for me. I was so thankful to just be amongst, like, you know, nature and beauty and filming
epic
all in
scenery.
One.
That show is the best scenery, you know?
Wow. It was divine for sure. So that was a really fun experience. So I hope to be an advocate for all the work in Hawaii and all the beautiful things that they're doing on this island. I'm such a believer in it and a believer in working from where your heart is. So I'm really grateful for the opportunities that are here.
Well, we are lucky then that you have so many talents. So you've got theater experience, you've got acting experience, and I know for a fact, because I've heard your songs, that you've got singing experience. So what of all of these multiple talents, and I'm a big pro multiple talent, multiple creative cheerleader, because I think it's important. We're human beings. And if you're creative in one area, you're going to be creative in other areas. So with all the different things that you're doing, what are you working on now and where are we going? What are you looking at for the immediate future? You are always invited to come back on our show.
Thank you so much. You know, I want to pinpoint what you're saying. I love this point you're making about artists in general. I mean, we as human beings, we can create sort of a tapestry of work. And as an actor, of course, there are highs and lows, but even in the in-between times, I'm a huge advocate for inspiring people to just create in the in-between time. We're so fortunate these days to be able to do it ourselves and not have to wait on a record label or wait on someone to write work for us. I mean, we can be proactive in that time of, you know, what's my next project? I mean, it's so great that we can just take, you know, the bull by the horns and do it ourselves. So I actually had the pleasure of meeting the lead actor I worked with on Ragamuffin, the Rich Mullins story I was just telling you about. We ended up collaborating, and I found out that he, you know, loves to do music, and I had a bunch of songs written, but I had never put out an EP. It was an absolute dream of mine to put out some sort of 4-song EP with just all original music, and one thing led to another, and he asked me if I wanted to record in his studio. I mean, this is an actor for you, and he is also a musician and a music teacher and has a full studio. So
was Elvis. Elvis was an actor and a musician, right?
People who really inspire me are people like Kristen Chenoweth, who can win a Tony for a musical comedy in Charlie Brown and then go and win an Emmy for her work on The West Wing. She also has her own music and, you know, records and performs all over the place. So, I mean, we're entertainers. It's what we love to do. And I love that you're giving, thank you, Michelle, for giving artists a space and a platform to really dialogue about these things that we're passionate for. I mean, obviously we love to act and we love to kind of simplify that niche with the projects that we do, but there's so much more to us from multifaceted individuals. So it's so
I think a lot of people are, and I really want to encourage it across the board. I just find that, you know, we don't have to be in these little boxes. And I find these projects so fascinating. I mean, the large scale of a movie or what goes into going into the studio for anything. I just find it all fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree. And whether you're an artist or, you know, working another day job somewhere, I mean, we can afford to be mobile and do what we love to do and create projects and do it all. So I'm really grateful to have a new EP available on iTunes. It's called First Love. And I'm really excited about that. So that I'll be, I played out at the House Blues in Hollywood right before it closed down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. Oh my gosh, I just felt so grateful to be there because all of my friends came, and it's hard to get people to come to shows in LA because of that traffic
so and parking at the Sunset House of Blues was never easy.
Oh my,
it was a nice venue. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah. So I was so grateful to be able to play out my first show, playing out my songs on my EP, First Love. I was able to play there. And then I've also played at the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset and played there multiple times. And I'm actually have an upcoming show here in Honolulu. So I'll have to post on my Twitter about that. But I'm just so thankful to be able to play these shows out. But to answer your question, I'll be back in LA in the next month in May because I'm super excited about this new project. Oh my gosh.
And just so you guys know, because this is right today, we're in April 2016. Just because I don't know when you're going to be listening to the show or when the show is going to launch this particular episode. So anyway, continue. Sorry, Christy. I just wanted to be clear on timelines, you know?
So much. That means a lot. Actually, I'm so excited to announce this brand new project. So if this all kind of connects, I see that it's kind of crucial to be authentic to the art and passion that you have in your heart. So for example, being on set with the guy from Rich Mullins, the lead actor who plays Rich Mullins, who was the one that produced my EP. I mean, there's one thing that led to another with that project. And then I'm also in a jazz band in LA and working on that project and being a part of a jazz band, I had an opportunity to audition for my friend who's the lead singer in our band. He introduced me to this amazing theater company in North Hollywood called New Musicals Incorporated. And what I'm saying in regards to tying all of the arts together, the message of my EP called First Love, I really, of course, it tells the story of my first love and then coping with the loss of it, which I think is something that a lot of people can really relate to. But
absolutely.
And then the end of the EP sort of has this Let Your Afro Out anthem of kind of just rediscovering the parts of you that are truly your first love. And so for me, it was a challenge in a good way to ask myself, now what really excites me in entertainment? I mean, I love all of it, but I missed doing musicals because going back to, you know, kind of coming full circle with our conversation here, the thing that I started out doing was musicals, and that really propelled me to deepen my love for acting and all art forms of performance. So I decided, you know, I really want to put myself out there this year for a musical. And after, you know, releasing my EP and having that intention of doing what a first love of mine is, I found this opportunity and got to audition for this brand new musical called Invisible. It's sort of like, it's an 80s pop rock musical comedy, which already I'm obsessed with. I love the 80s. It's sort of like a Grease meets High School Musical, very kitschy and fun. And it's a story of the nerds versus the jocks and the nerds trying to kind of make a name for themselves and win over the popular girls, who are these two twins, Madison and Melrose, and I play Melrose. So we're having a blast with it, and we actually did a stage reading of the musical last summer at what's called the Stages Festival in North Hollywood, and our musical ended up winning the New Musicals Incorporated Stages Festival. So that means that we get funding for brand new musical, and they're aiming really high with this one. So we're hoping to go big with it. And we're doing one more concert sort of stage reading tour this summer. So I'll be going back to LA in May in a few weeks to reprise the role of Melrose. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Do you know when we'll be able to go and see it?
Thank you so much for asking. So if you are in the LA area and you'd like to come and check out a brand new musical written by David Oris, it's called Invisible, and that will be at, I'm pulling up the address right now, but it will be in North Hollywood, and it's at the Stages Festival through New Musicals Incorporated.
And we'll make sure that all of the links and all of Chrissy's bio and all of those things will be on internationalwomeninfilm.com.
June 6th and 7th we'll have performances, and I'll be sure to give you all the details on tickets and the address of the theater that we'll be performing at. And it's really such an amazing show. I feel thrilled and truly honored to tell the story. I mean, the music
itself.
It's just
so fun. Musicals are fun. I mean, there's nobody who can't like one musical or another. I mean, they're just great. It's a great energy. I could totally see where you love doing that.
Thank you. There's so much great shtick too in this musical. I mean, we've got the jocks who are just so full of just like.
And I love the nerds. I love the nerds.
Everyone's rooting for them, and then the popular girls have their moment, and it's just so fun. I'm really grateful to, again.
And you're giving us a gift. Tell us about your gift that you're giving to the show today.
Giving me a gift. So thank you for being interested in my music. I'm so excited. I actually have a brand new song for my EP, First Love. This song is called Shy Guy. And I wrote this song, I kid you not, in traffic, in LA traffic. I was sitting there and I literally had this like download of a melody and lyrics, and it just sort of came out of me. But it's called Shy Guy, and it's the story of me falling in love with a shy guy, with Mr. Cool. So I hope you guys
enjoy. At the end of the interview, thanks to Chrissy for gifting us the use of her song for the podcast, we will play the entire song Shy Guy, courtesy of Chrissy Brooks and her EP. So that is so far out, and thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening, and I hope everyone enjoys it. And honestly, my biggest message and mission is I just really hope that people are inspired to do whatever is in their heart to do, and to know that anything is possible. And that if you really set your mind to something, you can achieve it. I mean, we're in a time now where we can't afford not to do what we love. We can do anything. So I hope that sticks and people are inspired by that.
Such a wonderful, sunshiny message from you, Chrissy. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for the song and your energy. And give me a call anytime, because we'd love to keep up with what you're working on.
I will. Thanks again for having me, Michelle. I'm truly honored to be on your
show. And let me know, and I can come cheerlead your musical.
Yes. Please come. I'd love to have you.
All right, honey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Aloha.
Aloha. Special treat. Today, we have permission from Chrissy Brooks to play the full song Shy Guy from her original EP First Love, now available on iTunes. Thank you so much, Chrissy, and I hope you guys enjoy the song.
Alone, and I know I don't want to be alone. me. I don't think we're just friends. Try to act like you're naive, but baby, you don't gotta pretend.
Find us at michellethetrainer.com. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, the T-R-A-I-N-E-R.com. Read Michelle's blog posts at engineeringwellness.com. Tweet at Michelle Trainer on Twitter. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E-T-R-A-I-N-E-R. Or email the International Women in Film Podcast at IWIF at michellethetrainer.com.